good guy. I'm glad he got the promotion.
You back this way?
Yeah. You know, that's, I think going to remark.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to clear up history, you just want to do this for yourself, right? I thought you think history needs a story. What? Because it's the truth.
I know it's the truth.
Surprised how many people still bring it up, and they say, you know, Box 13, kind of a black spot in history and so forth. Nobody understands it, and that's why we're, when this story is finally comes out, it is. You're right, and that's why it's, for history, it's so important to tell it once and for all. Everybody is gone now, except you. You're gonna live to be 100.
That's loud. My mama died in 191.
Yeah?
I died in 191.
You'll probably never go back to Dallas, huh? Is Ed Lloyd's son still there?
Not in a public office.
He's an attorney or?
He's in a public office.
Who was Atchison? Was he a city councilman or?
City councilman.
He seemed to be at all these meetings you told us about. Someone's done a book on George Parr. You see that? I forget who it was.
The interior staff has done is to go back and add on top of that 350 the amount that was originally looked into and bring it back up to a trillion two. Well, if you use a trillion two, if you divide that one out, you'll still find that you're talking about no more than 0.8%. But I would submit that all of this has been thoroughly investigated by the federal government. I would also note that the only technically qualified engineer on the investigating group, a man named Martin, whom I don't know personally, has agreed with the factual findings but disagreed entirely with the interpretation. And I would also point out that the USGS does exactly the same thing. So I do think it's an unfortunate thing to have happen at the present time. I said previously, and I would say it again, that this company would welcome an impartial, objective investigation made by people who are technically qualified to make such an investigation. I do think it unfortunate that there are not more technical people included on the interior staff who are qualified to make such judgments, because I think it would add to the technical competence of that group. Secondly, I think it unfortunate that a number of the members of that group have testified repeatedly before the Congress over a long period of time to the effect that the industry is withholding large quantities of gas. And it's rather difficult to have an objective conclusion reached by people who have already committed themselves publicly on the very question which they're investigating. Now, insofar as Pennzoil is concerned, we have been named all of our reserves in the Gulf of Mexico through Fogo and Plato have been examined by the Federal Power Commission, and in this very docket I was just referring to, and no recommendation for acceleration on any of our properties has resulted from that investigation. Yeah, I might point out that on the track we have, the particular track which evidently is in question in this interior report, that track, we sell gas from it at 37.5 cents for some of it, and 53 cents for MCF. On certain other amounts of it due to the concept of synergy, which we can hold that gas for the next 100 years, and all that we're going to get when we produce it are those prices plus a penny or two escalation every several years. So we really have no financial incentive to withhold any gas, but the matter has been examined and, by the Federal Power Commission, and no recommendation was made by the staff as to us on acceleration.
From the news report on this report, I have been a little confused. I've seen it talk about 4 fields, and then it's kind of a reference to the entire area down there. Is it,
that's what it is. They examined, as I previously noted, somewhere in the trillion-two range of reserves. After it was all examined, what they came up with in the staff brief were only 4 fields. And those 4 fields contained this 350 billion cubic feet of reserve, which I mentioned.
Right.
Now so that's where that comes from.
Is this the new study they're going into now, is it confined to the four?
No, what the new study did, well, the one that's just been published.
Well, then he announced that they were going into another one.
Heaven only knows what he's going to examine now.
But the report he released yesterday just dealt with the 4 fields?
What it did was deal with those 4 fields, and then it put back in the gas that was already eliminated in the Federal Power Commission proceeding. It had been examined and discarded. The report doesn't say that, but it leaves that part out.
Well, are you involved in the 4? I didn't see Pennzoil.
Not in the 4, but in the report itself, when he goes back and puts in this stuff, which we previously have had examined by the Federal Power Commission and the staff.
You wouldn't be involved in the 4, but you would be involved in the trillion-two.
That's right.
Now, that's right. Now, that's where I was a little confused. I saw one story where it made it look as though they were talking about everything in the Gulf of Mexico, and then another one saying the 4 fields. So,
Well, the main thing is this quite frankly, this investigative team is dominated by people who were with the Bureau of Economics at the Federal Power Commission, or are with, and then their consultant. Spark is a former member of the Bureau of Economics at the Federal Power Commission, and they're all economists. And as I was pointing out, there's only one technical man on the entire investigative team. Well, when we get ready to develop a reservoir, and to make evaluations of the kind that they have just made, this is done by trained geologists, seismologists, production engineers, and reservoir engineers. It's a highly technical thing. Each reservoir's got a personality, I guess, kind of its own. But it isn't susceptible to analysis by lawyers, which I happen to be by training, or economists, or until you get all of the information, and then if you are objective, hopefully you might be able to make sense out of it if you have sufficient advice by your technical professor.
Is it your feeling that in the interior, since they should have let FTC take its course, as far as the present status of the street?
I can't really see what's been added.
I noticed the stories keep floating. I believe it's Durkin or something. Dawkins, a former FTC man. We kind of credited him with putting this report together.
Well, they retained their firm, so John, I don't know what it's called, but it's John Wilson. He used to be with the Bureau of Economics in his position. Well known. He's been on a number of committees with staff and others. Sports has testified repeatedly before the Congress of the history. He's also a former Bureau of Economics.
He's fired by the Commission, the Federal Commission.
Yes, I did. He submitted originally Harry Truman back this long time back in the early 50s, established the National Materials Policy Commission, and it had prominent businessmen, a number of the prominent colleges in the country, think tanks, and so on, were represented on it. And they outlined pretty well what was going to happen to the minerals in this country over the next 5 years. And then in 1973, while I served on a commission which was to update that, the new National Materials Policy Commission. Quite frankly, it was kind of a wretched commission. I did a lot of work on it in the field of energy. Submitted a exposure draft, which I couldn't get them to go along with. And finally, the center was to a lot of these. It predicts, might be predicts exactly what that is. I tell the shareholders every year since 1970, every annual meeting, this is going to be the result. And
you're educated, yes, how old that began by the land present.
They can be made to last a very long time, depending on what you do. Natural gas furnishes about 30% of the energy in the United States. And of that 30%, about 25 or 30% is used by homes and hospitals and so on. And then about another 5% is used as what we call process gas, as a raw material out of which you might make fertilizer or your shirt or one way or another. The balance of it is pretty well used in boiler fuel. So if you were to foster the elimination of the boiler fuel use of it and go to a fuel oil temporarily, but coal oil, you would cut by, you would triple your reserve automatically for the highest use. Gas, which I believe in the home, is 5% with the raw material. So it gets the glass in a way that goes to the turn of the century.
Okay, so
you're
these recharges and so forth. Gas being withheld, or keep popping up, and the same thing happened in '73 about oil. You know.
Yeah.
Do you feel that this FTC study would have really resolved the situation in that area as far as the Gulf is concerned?
I think, quite frankly, they've got the expertise. The country has relied on the federal power position, and it certainly is not dominated by the oil industry by any stretch of the imagination. I think really that all of these accusations emanate from a desire by a group of people who were the instigators of the present crisis policy, which this country has had for something like 23 years on natural gas. It's a policy which has failed. It's been a national disaster. It prevented the development of coal because coal couldn't compete on a decent basis. But they are simply convinced still that it is a proper policy, but rather than let the debate, which should be taking place nationally, in my view, rather than let it center on true policy considerations, why we have all these diversionary rabbit trails, which really keeps the public's mind focused on something other than the real issue.
Even right here in Houston, some of the men on the street, so to speak, the attitude. It's back to the image, is that they think very poorly of the image of the industry.
Well, it really is. I think what you say is true. I've got a lot of friends who think that all we do is go around rattling gas. Not telling the facts about reserves, it's a whale of a problem, but the one thing that impresses me is there has never been a real forum where you can discuss the problem. You can't really, in 3 or 4 minutes on television, get into a debate that Mr. Nader or someone similar to me. They'll ask you a question, it'll be 3 questions and 5 accusations, and by the time you handle that, why, the issue is, hasn't a chance, and your time's up.
Well, it's just like at a news conference yesterday with the governor of Ohio, one of the national TV people, drowned out another newsman in getting his question in, which was, did the governor feel that the industry was withholding gas? And the governor's answer was that he had no knowledge of any being withheld. He had no facts or anything to back up the charge. And that didn't satisfy him. And so he came back with another question, which is more of a statement than anything else. And the governor says, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
So, but he was determined, apparently, this newsman was, to get that one point across. And he, I would say that the governor killed his tape when he says, I didn't say that. No, it's just like last week, I was having dinner with some friends, and there happened to be a couple there from Minnesota. Well, he kind of rankled me a little bit. He started jumping on the industry about, in 73, he was paying 40 cents a gallon, and today he was paying 70 cents or 60 cents or something like that, I've forgotten what it was, and he just didn't understand it. And that all these, I think he used the term obscene profits and stuff like that, and I just told him, I said, just remember that in 73, I think we were paying something like $5 or $6 billion a year for imported oil, where this year, I believe the estimate's about 40.
Yeah.
And he kind of dropped it, but no, the public just, they basically don't understand.
They don't. I gave a talk about 4 years ago, not Tokyo, and these were automobile distributors. And it was pretty funny. A lot of them were functional, and there was one guy that, well, he had driven down to West Texas, and he'd seen all those wells shut down. They weren't pumping at all. And he said, why don't those wells, not holding the stuff back in hybrid, why aren't you pumping those wells? Well, you go in and explain to them that the wells are on stop dots and that you'd be pumping the dry hole if you don't let the oil drain in there, and then the pump comes on. At some point during the day, they all pump.
They're not all rock and arms like you're back with.
But, yeah, but they don't know they're on stop dots, so they go through there and they'll see, 200 wells, 500 wells just sitting there. Some of them pump, some of them not. But it's not their turn to pump, but they don't know that.
Well, it's just engineering problems and otherwise. There are bound to be some shutdown wells or lack of pipeline connections such as that. At nearly all the time, and at least particularly in the Gulf, wouldn't it be?
There's a big, what we call in industry, regulatory lag. You make efforts for the pipeline company, whichever one's buying your gas, they'll make application to the Federal Power Commission. And it takes anywhere 6 months on to get permission to build a lateral over the lease. In the meantime, it may just sit there with completed wells.
What volume of gas are you producing?
In the Gulf, I guess, through Togo, Plato, and the range is 350 million a day, and the whole company producing in the range, including that, about 75 million a day.
And all of that is going to interstate?
26% roughly goes in prostate and the balance is more. That's rather interesting. I wasn't including the gas that we sell at in prostate blended in. We sell 85% of our gas for less than 80 cents.
That's the intrastate?
The whole thing is blended in.
Oh, the average for less than 80 cents.
The average price of 85% of our gas is less than 8%. Kind of interesting. It's a little bit of understanding.
He'll have some 20.
Yeah, let me show you what he's got. It's kind of interesting.
The recovery rate for oil, though, is about 1 out of 3 barrels of the in-place discovery, such as that.
What primary, yeah.
Primary, right. What's the comparative figure for gas?
Yeah, there is, but I don't know. It's a much higher figure.
Yes, I knew it would be much higher.
Yeah,
it'd be something like, with oil, it varies from field to field, too, I guess.
Oh, yeah, right. It's high reservoir. Don't get much. Back there in West Virginia, we've got wells that were drilled before the start of the century. And we've got leases that have recovered, or all of our leases there, we covered about 300 million barrels. And we think 85% of the oil that was originally there is still there. And what half the reason for it, because the low recovery is in those days, they didn't know what the hell to do with gas. So they pumped all the gas off in the atmosphere. And of course, that's the energy that brings the oil out. And so it's trapped out there. And these particular reservoirs, in many cases, are too tight to get water in. It's too expensive to use natural gas to push it out. But we're doing some, we've got about 3 experiments going back there trying to get it out with carbon dioxide. Some areas of the water flow. And then we've got a chemical process. Oh yeah, it's expensive, but in my view, it's probably going to turn out in the long run to be cheaper than trying to gasify coal or make gas out of it, or oil out of shale or tar sand. It's on a front burner, technically.
Can you do it in the right way?
No, can't get your money back. In one area, we can almost break even with sulfur. But that's the coal price most of the time.
Some of them have already referred to not only this Gulf of Mexico thing, but the Atlantic court order of yesterday. Is it causing further delay in solving the overall.
Yeah, that's a really serious thing. And right behind it is coming some kind of a new old Fiesta. I've talked, if it's anything like the one that died last time, it'll just set expiration back years, possibly even took. But I have just talked last night about this portal. The one company that bought the lease, they think they can get a permanent one. They tied up a rig, $10,000 a day. And they've now got the rig and they can't get a permit. A long-term contract, but in their lease cash, it runs up pretty fast.
What do you think the overall answer to this shortage and crashes problem is?
I've always believed that ultimately the price of natural gas should be permitted to go to its true economic value on a comparable BTU basis with competing fuels. You can do that immediately or you can phase it in. I really don't think that you would get as big a jump in the price of gas as you might think, because so much of it is already, this would only apply to gas you don't have now. So it would be blended in almost automatically over a period of time. But you could phase it in. But if you do that, and you get BTUs coming from coal, from nuclear, from natural gas, and from oil, all competing, what will happen is that industry will automatically go off of gas and switch to coal, because coal, you ought to be able to produce currently somewhere in the 60 to 80 cents per million range. So
around a dollar.
It may be higher now. I don't follow coal because we're precluded from being able to be the Democratic platform. But in any event, it will be the cheapest probably of all, and then industry will go to the cheapest because it uses such huge amounts of it. The second effect you'll have is people will, in fact, turn down their thermostat, and they will, in fact, tend to buy a smaller car. You will, in fact, get conservation because it is economically attractive to conserve. So you would get, you really get three things. You will conserve your gas supply. You will foster the development of alternate fuels, principally coal. And the third thing you will get is probably an additional supply of natural gas. So there are three sides to the equation. The demand side, if you want to foster conservation, you'll get that by proper price mechanism. You will get on the supply side, you get more gas because you can produce gas currently, it's non-economic. The third thing is you'll get coal being developed because it'll be cheaper than gas to be released. You get all of the fuel in the station. I don't think that's what that movement is about.
You mentioned the 20-cent gas holiday. I think even if, which is I'm sure impossible, to decontrol old gas, but even if they did that, you'd still have contract situation anyway, wouldn't you?
Yeah, that's the point I'm trying to make. In other words, every bit of gas that we have, or virtually everything that we have, is on long-term contract.
Right.
And all the gas that we have in interstate commerce is on long-term contract. It's committed. Generally speaking, for the life of the reservoir. So if you were to decontrol tomorrow, Well, you would be controlling gas that we currently don't have. So it would not affect the price one iota that day.
Right.
Except to the extent that someone would come down in Texas and start trying to buy intrastate gas. It moved from Texas into some other market. But even that wouldn't be very great because you can't afford to pay a play a lot.
Would encourage that, right?
Now, there's a world of gas that at current prices you simply cannot pay your bankers back.
That's what I mean. You have to be regulated and then encourage stuff to go out and buy and do that.
Sure. And it would make a lot of areas which are currently not being developed because you can't get your money back, they would be developed. That's exactly what's happening, of course, in the state where they've got the gas right now. That's why they've got gas in Texas. Price is high, but you've got gas. The rest of the country, the price is low and you don't have gas.
Say these next few weeks are going to be interesting.
They really are. We've been fighting for ever since 1970. Got absolutely no, I don't care what administration is. It's a kind of bullet that politically is so unpalatable. I don't know if anybody will ever fight it. That's the price.
You know, I wonder how many hours you have to spend on politics and budgets because of,
you know,
that's on what you really like to do.
Well, it's the damn trouble. It's politics and, God, we get questionnaires, you know, and accusations. Actually, our basic business is in damn good shape. We've got pretty good supplies, we've got places to drill, and we've got mines to build and all that. And all of the stuff we've got is operating. But if you just had time to really get out and charge in some of these other areas, you didn't have just masses of red tape to work through, you could really do something. But
it's become a part of that. You have to know
it. Oh, exactly.
Really? I appreciate you taking the time today. And
well, I appreciate you taking the time to listen to my bleeding.
Well, no, I think it's interesting. I had seen no reference whatsoever to this FTC docket case.
Well, that's the thing that really is very irritating, is this whole thing is old hat. It's been into by experts, and it's pending before the Federal Power Commission. And these guys, of course, being in the commission and ex-commission people, why they know that. So they just take some old junk and bring it out and resurrect it and talk in terms of trillions and make people think that you can produce that trillion cubic feet by turning a valve. This whole furor is, when you examine it, we're talking about 0.0025%. That's what it's about. And that's pretty tough.
Authorities, if they haven't deported these particular families, these families are living in Houston, and they have their children with them, and that it does no good to punish these families or punish the parents by depriving the children of an education. The children are going to grow up, and they're going to grow up uneducated. The immigration business is for the immigration authorities, and it's not for the school district to try and help out the immigration people in that matter.
Mr. Judge Jim Myers has asked attorneys to come back at 2 o'clock this afternoon to hear more argument. Attorney Williamson estimates tens, maybe hundreds of thousands of children around the state may be affected by the judge's decision. Tom Park for KPRC News Radio in Austin.
Special meeting of the Houston School Board is scheduled in 38 minutes at 1 o'clock. The trustees are going to open bids for $70 million in school improvement bonds. The money will be used to kick off the improvements program you, the voter, okayed at the polls last September. The seven men elected to sit as the new Westheimer School Board only a few weeks ago have a board meeting set for tonight. Their agenda lists several matters, but of most interest will be the search for someone to sit as superintendent of schools for the new Westheimer School District. A big fire over the weekend sent eight Houston firemen to hospitals. This morning, investigators went out to find out why the fire started.
Houston arson investigators spent the morning sifting through the ruins of a three-alarm fire. That fire destroyed a building in a 1500 block of Main Street and sent eight firemen to a hospital for treatment. None of them was hurt seriously. The investigators were out yesterday afternoon as well and determined that the fire started in the rear of the building, but they say that standing water, the fire hoses, prevented them from making a complete investigation. This morning's effort was more fruitful, but there is still no official ruling on the cause. Meanwhile, homicide detectives say it will be this afternoon sometime before charges are filed in the city's latest killing. 26-year-old Roy James Halsey of the 600 block of Berry Road was shot once in the chest during an argument. He was dead at the scene, and police arrested a 22-year-old woman in connection with that case. She is being held in the city jail pending those charges. And a pair of masked gunmen planned to make a big haul at the Steak and Ale restaurant at the 12,200 block of the Gulf Freeway. They apparently broke into the rear of the restaurant and waited for the manager to arrive. Ray Dunsmore says they made off only with the change. It was left in the cash register, but he says they could not get into the safe, so they fled. No one was injured during that robbery. I'm Bob Lilly, KPRC News Radio at Houston Police Headquarters.
The chairman of the board of Pennzoil in Houston says President Carter's plans to solve the natural gas shortage will not do that. Hugh Litke says it's probably designed to spread the shortage around to all parts of the country. Litke says it will not produce any new gas. And about the president's move to make sure those in the oil and gas industry are telling the truth about the shortage.
I think it might be constructive for the president to have a thorough study of the reserves made by competent people and to once and for all put to rest the rumors that this is a contrived situation. Our company's been talking about it now since 1970. And at this point, I would think that the thing speaks for itself.
Litke told KPRC, one thing is certain, Americans cannot continue living as they have, wasting energy supplies. Ohio is one of the states looking for natural gas, and that state is running newspaper ads in Houston and other big Texas cities. The ad reads, wanted natural gas for Ohio. Gas producers who can supply large daily volumes of gas now, contact the governor, James Rhodes. Ken Drum works in Columbus, Ohio, in the Crisis Energy Office, but he tells us there have been only a few responses.
At the present time, it doesn't look like we're going to have any immediate relief, Steve. We have some problems right now in Ohio. Of course, we've got a shortfall of about 7 billion cubic feet of gas just to take care of what we call our priority one customers for the rest of this heating season. And those are residences, nursing homes, hospitals, facilities like that.
It's Ken Drum looking to Texas for natural gas for Ohio. Mostly cloudy and cool this afternoon through Tuesday is our Houston area forecast. About a 20% probability of some light precipitation in your area tonight and again tomorrow. A high this afternoon expected near 60 degrees. Overnight low tonight of about 42. And light easterly wind.